Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Buenos noches. Shalom. Assalamu alaikum. Good evening. You're listening live to the New Monday Show on blogtalkradio.com. I am Charlene, your host. Call in with your event announcements at any time on the New Monday Evening Show, where we celebrate Kirk Franklin's birthday, brighter day. Community announcement. Happy sixth day of Kwanzaa. For many of you who may be new to the show, I'm going to do probably the standard protocol this evening, but we're celebrating New Year's Eve for 2011, and I thank all of you for listening to my show this evening. Normally, the new Monday evening radio show is broadcasted live on Mondays at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Mentorship Month begins tomorrow for the month of January, and I'm asking all listeners to mentor someone within your given profession. The new Oprah Winfrey Network begins tomorrow. Lauryn Hill will be touring in New York until January the 8th. And again, the new Monday evening radio show will resume again on January the 3rd at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And my hosted global Christmas theme event will end on January the 7th. Birthday shout-outs. Viewers, I'd like to wish a happy birthday and give you a big hug to Pam, Jerome, and Donna. Celebrity birthdays, Denzel, Tyrese, and Aaliyah. And normally I would ask for viewers to call in with your shout-outs, and the shout-out number is 1-347-327-9564. We bless in many entertainers, celebrities, and people that we adored in 2010. And I just wanted to go over a list of the names of the people whom we have lost this year. Guru, Senator Robert Byrd, Dixie Carter, Elizabeth Edwards, Gary Coleman, Lena Horne, Rue McClanahan, Senator John Murtha, Leslie Nelson, Bernie Wilson, Tina Marie, Gary Coleman, Billy Taylor, Teddy Pendergrass, Zelda Rubinstein, Alexander McQueen, Corey Haim, Peter Graves, John Forsyth, Helen Wagner, Lynn Redgrave, Dennis Hopper, Robert Smimmel, Rich Cronin, Eddie Fisher, Gloria Stewart, Greg Giraldo, Tony Curtis, Barbara Billingsley, Tom Bosley, Jill Claiber, Bobby Farrell, Steven Landsberg, Tina Marie singing His Eyes on the Pharaoh.
Why should I feel discouraged?
And why
should the shadows come?
And long
for heaven.
You know that I am a member of the United Methodist Christian Denomination. I am not an ordained preacher. I will be teaching from the Holy Bible, King James Version, and the Holy Quran. So normally on New Monday evening radio show times, I teach from the Holy Bible, King James Version, and the Holy Quran. And I also ask that you have a notebook, pencil, and two holy books. Normally there is vocabulary, and we go over the vocabulary, words and spellings allowed, and the definitions. Now, like Christians and Jews, Muslims believe there is only one God. Likewise, Muslims believe there is only one truth, one human race that descended from one couple, Adam and Eve. One heaven, one hell, and one way to achieve salvation and eternal bliss. And I normally provide a meditation poem and it's entitled I Am by Michael Wynn. I'm going to say the poem aloud for new listeners. I am strong. I am gentle. I am proud. I am humble. I am confident. I am beautiful. I am intelligent. I am becoming all that I can be. We are all children of God. Now, first the Torah, next the Holy Bible, and then the creation of the Holy Quran. So I normally conduct my teachings within the same format. Now, if you were to open the Holy Bible, the first few pages should list the Old and the New Testament. Within the Testaments are books, and the books are chapters, and the chapters are verses. And then we go on to read the chapters within the Holy Bible. And when we open the Holy Quran, in it you will find books, or some say chapters, called surah. There are 114 surahs within the Quran. And there are 66 books in the Holy Bible, and 39 books create the Tanakh, or the Torah. And to show respect for Muslims, we will normally read Surah 1, verses 1 through 7, before beginning each new lesson. I would like to just play some of the new Monday evening radio featured selections that we have used throughout 2010. We have quite a selection to go through this evening. Our next song will be Our God is an Awesome God by Kirk Franklin.
Come on.
we're bringing in the new year of 2011, I would like to go over the biblical meaning of numbers, beginning with numeric 1. Behold, nothing needs to be added. Numeric 2 represents divine agreement. 3, resurrection and completion. 4, supernatural impartation. 5, grace. 6 is the number of man. 7, perfection or completion. 8, new beginnings. 9, birthings. And 10, eternity without end. So if we were to look at 2011, we would probably say that it represents divine agreement and nothing needs to be added. Now, I'd like to also go over the Books of the Bible poem that I used in 2010 with my listeners, and it's from the NIV Adventure Bible. NIV means New International Version of the Holy Bible. Genesis tells how God created us. Next comes Exodus and Leviticus. Numbers and Deuteronomy tell great stories of wandering Israel. Joshua has stories of war and victory. Judges tells of problems in Jewish history. Next comes Ruth. You'll find in this book the story of Boaz and the wife he took. Samuel contains books 1 and 2. Kings and Chronicles also do. In Ezra and Nehemiah, the Jews come home. Esther is a story of a rise to the throne. Job is a story of hope and sadness. The Psalms are poems of praise and gladness. Proverbs gives us wise things to do. Ecclesiastes contains much good advice too. Songs of Songs is a poem of love and devotion. It is expressed in words of strong emotion. Isaiah and Jeremiah are books of prophecy. Lamentation laments a sad time in history. Ezekiel and Daniel take place in captivity. Hosea, Joel, and Amos are the next three. Obadiah is a short little book. Jonah is a great story. Take a look. Micah, Nahum, and Habakkuk prophesy. Then comes Zephaniah and Haggai. Zechariah and Malachi are at the end. Then a long time of silence. God did sin. Matthew and Mark with Luke and John tell of the teachings of God's Son. Acts reports on the apostles' work with the people of the early church. Take a look at Romans. You'll find within how faith in Jesus can cover sin. Next comes 1 and 2 Corinthians, followed by Galatians, Ephesians, and Philippians. Colossians explains what faith can do. Thessalonians and Timothy have books 1 and 2. Titus tells us to carry on. The next in line is Philemon. Hebrews is a mystery book. We don't know who wrote it, but take a good look. James tells what a Christian should do, followed by Peter, books 1 and 2. Then comes John's letters, 1, 2, and 3. Jude is next, and as brief as can be. The revelation of John comes at the end and tells of a Savior who's coming again. Love of my life. By Darla Day.
I love you, the love of my life. I need you.
In the Garden by Buddy Mullins.
I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear.
To also go over my What Is Your Point Twitter show, twitter.com/whatisyourpoint. Something I've never understood, some of the topics that we've had these last couple of weeks since I'm hosting the global Christmas theme, and our theme this year for 2010 was I will sing and or make music to the Lord. And one of our topic discussions was, why should Christians feel guilty for giving gifts as an act of Jesus' love? Another topic, what does love do? It communicates that your personality is appreciated, that you are important to someone. It boosts self-confidence. Sex is a form of love that masturbation does not give. Sex allows human touch. And there are too many people out here in this world that are lacking the touch of the human opposite sex. The sensation that's given during sex with a human partner. Sex is also a form of exercise that strengthens couples and bodies. And our sacrificial human offering, was it love or was it murder? If God, Allah, placed himself in a human, was it premeditated murder or giving of oneself? God spoke of killing Jesus, or Isa, in the beginning of the Holy Bible or in the Torah. Could you plan for years to kill another and to discuss others what you were going to do and how it would be done? If we are a part of God or Allah, do we have an innate trait to kill other humans? Now, Jesus, who is this Jesus that we discuss? He was a son of God and also a stepson of man. In Luke chapter 3, verse 23, when Jesus was 30 years of age and had just recently been baptized by John the Baptist, it writes in the scriptures, he was the son of Joseph, which was a human man on the earth, which was the son of Hali, which was the son of Mathat, which was the son of Levi, which was the son of Melchi, which was the son of Jana, which was the son of Joseph, which was the son of Matthias, which was the son of Amos, which was the son of Nahum, which was the son of Ezli, which was the son of Nagi, which was the son of Maath, which was the son of Mattathias, which was the son of Samia, which was the son of Joseph, which was the son of Judah, which was the son of Joanna, which was the son of Rezi, which was the son of Zerubbabel, which was the son of Zaldiel, which was the son of Nari, which was the son of Melchi, which was the son of Adi, which was the son of Kosam, which was the son of Almudam, which was the son of Ur, which was the son of Hose, which was the son of Eliezer, which was the son of Jorim, which was the son of Mathat, which was the son of Levi, which was the son of Simeon, which was the son of Judah, which was the son of Joseph, which was the son of Johann, which was the son of Eliakim, which was the son of Maliah, which was the son of Manan, which was the son of Mattatha, which was the son of Nathan, which was the son of David, which was the son of Jesse, which was the son of Obed, which was the son of Boaz, which was the son of Salmon, which was the son of Naasson, which was the son of Amadab, which was the son of Aram, which was the son of Esram, which was the son of Pharez, which was the son of Judah, which was the son of Jacob, which was the son of Isaac, which was the son of Abraham, which was the son of Terah, which was the son of Nahor, which was the son of Zakrach, which was the son of Ragu, which was the son of Phalek, which was the son of Eber, which was the son of Salah, which was the son of Canaan, which was the son of Arephath, which was the son of Sem, which was the son of Noah, which was the son of Lamech, which was the son of Methuselah, which was the son of Enoch, which was the son of Jared, which was the son of Mahlil, which was the son of Canaan, which was the son of Enos, which was the son of Seth, and which was the son of Adam, who and which, hallelujah, was which was the son of God. So Jesus is the son of man, and he's also the son of God. Thank you, Lord. Mariah Carey, always be my baby. Thank you, Lord. Let's sing a joyful noise. Hallelujah. But he said, what? Huh? Man doesn't live by bread alone. Well, Would Jesus have been a social service baby, born of a virgin? Just think of all the odds against him. He was born of a virgin who had no income and married a man who was a construction worker who was chased out of the town. Another topic that we discussed on my Twitter show, would Jesus have been a social service baby? There was no space for Mary and Joseph at the local motel. And Mary gives birth in a barn? What? Don't you think social service workers would have been knocking at somebody's door? Amen? So when we say that we were born in the ghetto, or we were born here, or we were born there, less than the normal society, look how great we can become if only we had the will and the faith to endure. And Jesus was also born and surrounded by animals in a barn. Do you think it was a donkey that was there? Was it the same donkey that would take him to the cross? If sheep were there, sheep represents the many people he would preach to. If it was the lamb there, well, hey, we know what the lamb means. The lamb means it represents Jesus, Jesus' future as the sacrifice, that sacred sacrifice for all humankind. And we must keep him pure and religious, pure and holy. That meant without spot or wrinkle, with no sin. He couldn't even have sexual intercourse because he had to remain holy and pure. And this was the belief of the Judaism, the Christianity, and Islam. Priest, do you know it? King Herod asked the priest where Jesus would be born. And guess what they told him? When his mother couldn't find him, where was he? He was in the midst of the high priests and the doctors within the community. And as he grew, Jesus knew his stepdad. He loved him, yet he valued the presence of his real father in his life most, and that was God or Allah. And John the Baptist said, who everyone, many of you may not know, but John the Baptist was the son of a preacher. And then he grew up to become a preacher who baptized people with water. And he told the people to prepare the way of the Lord and to make sure that his directions were holy and pure, because he was the Lamb of God. He was the sacrifice. There is one coming, he said, that is more powerful than any preacher that we know of. And Jesus, following the order of priesthood tradition, allowed John the baptizing preacher to baptize him. And as Jesus grew, he loved to help us. He loved to help others and learn and see the truth of issues. He healed the bodies of and religious minds of God's believers who had enough courage to ask, who had enough courage to seek, who had enough courage to knock for it. Only the high priests and the doctors back then were allowed to teach and heal. And the society knew that, so they hated Jesus even the more. Why? Why were they so angry at Jesus? Because he was interfering with their wealth, their socioeconomic within the communities, and their dependence and reliance that they had portrayed onto the poor. And then we have too many believers and too few preachers. Jesus went into many churches, many synagogues, with his messages. And he enjoyed teaching and preaching, but he mostly enjoyed preaching and teaching outside as he traveled to his final destination, which would be the cross. And so Jesus chose 12 men to help him along his journey to complete his final destination. And he told them to give all that they had away, just as what he had did. Because as many of us know that Jesus was not a poor man when he first began preaching and teaching. But because he had to travel to and fro trying to do the work of God, because there were very few preachers to help him, he said, you know, I've got to give some of my things away. I can't just journey across these towns with all of my wealth and all of my possessions. So he gave it away. And what did he learn? That his gift made room for him. And so when he had none, it was provided to him. Because your gifts and your talents will make a way for you. And there was one preacher I remember who used to say that every Christian, every believer, everyone actually on the human race has one gift or one talent that they can present. And your gift or your talent shall make room for you. If you're good, if you're skillful, if you're consistent, if you're reliable, if you're trustworthy, if there's no backbiting, naysaying, your gift shall make room for you. Okay. Well, 4 more hours before 2011. Our next selection of our featured new Monday evening radio show selections is We Are the World.
Thank you.
organization using God's classification system. Kingdom's Quilt Newsletter, 2010. Organizations using God's classification system. This is a poem that I've written for my newsletter. God classified all throughout the Holy Bible, Torah and Quran, what is sinful and what is good, what classifies an educated person and an ignorant person, what celebration deserves the highest praise, and the celebrations that do not. Our foundation, God classified the heavens and the planets. God classified lands and communities. God classified all animals, including people. God classified families or tribes because families were to remain together to create prosperity or productivity. God classified love and hate. God classified good parents and bad parents. God classified good households and bad households. Our business foundation. God classified tasks of real leaders from false leaders. God classified how to and not to manage people. God classified good workers from bad workers. God classified those who are with you and those who are not. God classified the difference in his ways versus earthly ways. God classified our religion foundation. God classified John the Baptist as being the Son of Man and Jesus as the Son of God and man. God classified the importance of forgiveness. God classified those who are with you and those who are not. God classified good religious settings from bad religious settings. God classified his battles and ways to battle as faith believers. God classified the beginning times from the ending times. God never classified by color. He classified by works, skills, and talents. And my 2010 quote of the year was, old never completes with the new, because old is the foundation of what is or yet to be. And our last song for 2010 is Go Tell It on the Mountain by the Covenant Glen United Methodist Church Choir.
Go back to church again. Can we really go back to church now? Everybody say,
I would like to wish everyone
a
happy New Year! If you would like to send me a donation, please mail to P.O. Box 26192, Wilmington, Delaware, 19899, or email to me at radioshow@charleneonline.com. Well, this has been your hostess. Thank you, Lord, that I've seen another year. It has been a pleasure teaching this week's scripture lesson and welcoming you into 2011. My Lord, thank you. Thank you for my family. Thank you for my four children. Thank you for my job. Thank you for allowing me to look beyond. Thank you, Lord. Have a nice evening. Hallelujah. And smile, smile, smile. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you. Go and tell it. Go over there in Europe and tell it. Go tell it in Asia. Thank you, Lord. Go tell it in Iraq. Everywhere. Thank you, Lord. Tell it. Go and tell it to Hawaii. Thank you, Lord. Go through the islands, Lord. Bless the people in Haiti, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Bless the people in California. Bless the people here in North America. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Don't tell it in South America.